has criticized the South African Revenue Services for what they say was not providing sufficient information to investigators during the probe of former official Jonas Makwakwa. The Treasury's Deputy General Director Ishmael Momoniat was updating Parliament's Standing Committee on Finance on the investigation conducted into the controversial former official by the law firm Hogan Lovells. Now, you've already heard Lord Peter Hain and his campaign to get Hogan Lovells to not get any public sector work in Britain until some contrition is shown for the way in which they behaved. And you've also heard Mr. Yunus Karim disregard and in fact call out Julius Malema as a liar, saying that the committee had not given Mr. Makwakwa or anybody in SARS a free pass, but that they had in fact insisted that all the proper procedures be followed and that they called for the speedy investigation and conclusion of these matters and of course that Parliament take its own initiatives. Well, to get the perspective of the Treasury, I'm joined now on the line by the Deputy Director General, Mr. Momoniat. Mr. Momoniat, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Karima, and to your listeners.
Now, you, of course, came out very harsh against SARS under Mr. Moyani, I'm presuming, for what you were saying was not providing sufficient information. And I'm not sure whether you listened to the interview that I had with Lord Hain, where I was quoting from the executive summary that Hogan Lovells did on its report. And, of course, they point out that their terms of reference and their determination was the sole purview of the SARS and that they were not dealing with the actual issues, which was, of course, flagged by the PIC, and that the exclusive jurisdiction of wrongdoing felt or rather fall into the ambit of the SAPS, and that they were instructed that the Hawks had already been in the process of investigating the FIC allegations. And then, of course, also they were instructed by SARS to brief PwC, which was to determine whether or not Makwakwa and Alksi effected payments in contravention of internal SARS policies and or Public Finance Management Act. Now, I've interviewed several spokespersons of SARS who, of course, constantly pleaded with the public to understand Mr. Makwakwa's rights. They didn't seem to understand that people who, in fact, in charge of the South African Revenue Services needed to be above and beyond reproach. Now, Hogan Lovells, of course, today said that they had always been open to their recommendations being made public, but that it was, of course, SARS who had to determine that because they were the client. And we know, of course, that the acting commissioner, Mark Kingan, had, in fact, given his permission that confidentiality doesn't hold water. How far does it take us to getting to the truth of the way in which the Makwakwa matter was mishandled by Mr. Moyani in particular?
Yes, Karima. Look, I think we are getting to the truth, and I think it's been after a lot of effort, and I think just the efforts of the Standing Committee on Finance and people like Mr. Karim,
yeah,
to just simply get the Hogan Lovells report and link to it the report they commissioned through PwC.
Mm.
I mean, that report was firstly denied to three ministers, to Pravin Gordhan, to Malusi Gigaba, and to Snata Nene.
Mm.
Okay. At no stage were those reports given by the suspended commissioner to them. And I want to point out, when you say I've been hard-hitting on SARS, I'm certainly not being hard-hitting on SARS as an institution, but under the leadership that dealt with the Makwakwa matter, so obviously with the suspended commissioner.
Yes.
And you know, the reports when they came out were extremely revealing because they showed just the extent to which there was total non-cooperation from Mr. Makwakwa, that PwC listed a whole lot of, you know, basic requests, like get their Makwakwa's laptop and cell phone. just get all his other bank accounts because he only allowed information on one.
Yeah.
I mean, just the most basic thing was not done. And when you go through that and you see that SARS, which institutes the investigation and then actually doesn't cooperate with the company, that clearly they didn't want anything to come out. That's clear. Secondly, I think Hogan Lovells looks at the report, they further filter the PwC report, and yes, they do make recommendations that certain aspects should be investigated, filtered as it is. And when SARS actually lays charges, you know, the charges are basically trivial charges compared to the serious charges.
Yeah.
So one's got to ask,
what
where
is the motive?
Was Hogan Lovells in all of this? They kept quiet for a long, long time. Did they write to Moyani? Did they say, Commissioner, you distorted our report? Is there such correspondence? Did they, even if they couldn't tell the outside world, did they at least protest to SARS that their report was being distorted or wasn't giving effect? Instead, they kept quiet. They played around about the terms of reference, and they did that for more than a year. And now I saw today the interview and their statement that they were waiting on SARS. I think it's a bit rich. It's very convenient. And they're hiding behind attorney-client confidentiality, which is an important principle, and no one's saying they must go around that. But they were complicit in state capture. They, you know, by omission, by what they didn't do. When they saw corruption, why didn't they report it to the authorities themselves? You know, one can ask many questions. And I think, as Lord Hayne has said, the fact that they even refused to acknowledge any wrong, that they could have done better, tells you that they themselves are a problem. So I think that with a commission of inquiry, I would expect that, you know, all these matters will be investigated. So it's one thing what they say in Parliament. It's going to be another thing when they have to provide statements under oath. And when correspondence between them and SARS and individuals in SARS emerges, I think that there's much more that's going to come out, I suspect, just looking at the documents that came out or that were given to Parliament.
Yes, I mean, if I look at what PwC is saying here and also Biz Fireworks, the payments, I mean, it says here, Mr. Makwakwa's conduct during the investigation, it says when Makwakwa was probed to provide details in relation to the explanations provided on various sources of income, he showed reluctance, citing the need for an explanation of the investigator's mandate. He surprisingly did so in circumstances where he had initially agreed to cooperate with the investigation and had already commenced putting together a comprehensive response when approached by the investigators. In fact, when the investigator's mandate was questioned by Makwakwa, he had already provided the investigators with a written explanation accompanied by documents. It was only when his explanation was tested by the request to provide clarity on some of the aspects of his version that he questioned the investigator's mandate. And then it also says, of course, that all SARS employees are required to declare any financial interest. It's in accordance with the SARS internal ethics policy conflict of interest. Now, I mean, this goes to the heart of Mr. Moyani's maladministration and mismanagement and in some instances, blatant cover-up of Mr. Makwakwa's involvement. I mean, he was absolutely determined that no one was going to get to the bottom of how these payments were made and what they were for.
Yeah, look, I think the key thing, and, you know, if you look at what Minister Nene said yesterday in his budget vote speech, he said, you know, any tax authority like Caesar's wife must be above suspicion.
Yeah.
And in a sense, you know, it's almost like you've got to be cleaner than clean.
Yeah, in fact, let me finish the quote for you. He says, the next major step, therefore, towards strengthening public finance is to restore public confidence in SARS. In this regard, President Ramaphosa is finalizing the appointment of a commission of inquiry into SARS. And, of course, we know now that retired Judge Nugent is going to be heading up that commission.
Yeah, I'm not so sure he's retired.
Is he not retired?
I'm, look, I'm not sure, but I don't
I'm sorry,
think
I speak under correction. I will take my guidance.
I think we should just take that out, yeah.
Okay.
But yes, so the commission's been appointed, and as I said, they will certainly be able to get the facts. And I think the country deserves to know the facts. And in a way, you know, as a Treasury, we're concerned because SARS is a major, a critical institution. It you can even say it's a kind of backbone to our democracy.
Mm.
It's where the state raises revenue to be able to fund and deal with poverty, to fund expenditure programs for basic services, to provide education, health, etc. And when you have a situation where after building this fantastic institution over 20 years, after its establishment in 1997,
yeah.
Indeed, this was the first commission that I think President Mandela set up, the Katz Commission, which made these recommendations. To then simply allow this institution to be destroyed or to, well, almost destroyed. I mean, to undermine its reputation, not do the right thing, impact on its integrity, which kind of then impacts on tax morality. Really, it's almost treason, really, if you think about it. And to the extent that, you know, others were complicit or preferred to look the other way, I do think that these issues need to come out. We need to make sure that we understand why have we, you know, why was this institution undermined in this way?
Mm-hmm.
It was certainly done, I think, to protect some narrow interests. And if you look at the terms of reference, it's going to look at certain connected individuals or families and so on who were possibly treated preferentially. I mean, we need to know that they weren't treated preferentially.
Yeah.
We need to know that the mining rehab funds were not raided. You know, I think that it's important for the country to obviously know these facts and to work out how best to protect an institution like SARS in the future and to ensure that it's able to collect revenue and that people have faith that government is not just collecting revenue properly, but it's actually spending that money properly.
Now, of course, in your presentation today, Mr. Mamoniat, you also speak about confidentiality and what you call its possible abuse. And this is something that Mr. Karim also picked up on. And you made a couple of points that I think is important to consider. You're saying confidentiality is critical in relationship between SARS and taxpayers. It's a canon in terms of principles of tax administration, and that all tax-related information, including various media articles, are only known to SARS and specific taxpayers, and SARS cannot even tell the Minister of Finance or the Presidency or anybody else. But then you say similar but different types of confidentiality also applies to the FIC on money laundering suspicious transaction records. And you pose this critical question. You say the key question to ask is, how can we ensure that confidentiality is not abused to hide criminal and administrative abuses? How can we ensure more transparency to expose blatant acts of corruption or state capture, which also affects the integrity of SARS? And of course, this was at the heart of the toing and froing between SARS under Mr. Moyani and the ministry, or rather the portfolio committee to which SARS had to account. It was this that they were trying to in many ways, abuse, and they were trying to get a larger margin in order to, and it now appears, hide some very, very critical information.
Yes, no, I think that this is a critical issue because, you know, we are a democratic state. Accountability is very important, both to parliament, but there's different levels of accountability as well.
Yeah.
And to the extent that, you know, when for example, the reputation of SARS was being attacked, you see negative media articles.
Yeah.
The commissioner does have the power to correct the situation, to put the facts out there.
Mm.
But when, in fact, the confidentiality provision is used to block information and in effect, hide the corruption, clearly, I think we as a society need to see how do we actually ensure for the future that such confidentiality provisions are not abused.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the FIC. Let's look at, you know, they had, if you remember, Minister Praveen Gordhan took to court 73 suspicious transactions.
Yes.
You know, we need to know at some point that somebody is going to investigate those. And
yeah.
it does also get to the role of the criminal prosecution authorities, that to what extent have they investigated those transactions? Can we at least have the knowledge that someone has gone into it and at least found out that there's nothing to it? Because if it's suspicious, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily illegal. But somebody has to go and check. And to the extent that they were illegal, that someone's been charged or some action has been taken. And of course, there's been complete silence on this. And it seems to take us forever and forever to even get charges, or they are continually investigated, almost like a Kafka's kind of novel.
Yes.
Okay. When really this is white collar crime, I think it's pretty simple to actually just from the transaction records figure out what's happening and do something about it. Now, the fact that nothing happens and there's no consequences, I think just makes other people braver and bolder to actually continue with corruption and actually go to higher levels of corruption.
And believe, of course, that they can act with impunity. Thank you so very much. The Deputy Director General in the Treasury, Ishmael Momoniat, explaining there, of course, the unhappiness with the way in which Mr. Moyane, under his leadership in SARS, dealt with the Makwakwa matter.